Om Gyanatimidam Dasya Gyananjana Sadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Vanihyam Tadhati Shatadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Shahagana Raghunatam Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute. Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prashabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hori Priye, Mancha Gopataru Vyascha, Kupasindho Prevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for coming. I'd like to invite you to check your cell phone, see that they're all turned off. Silence. Nice to see you again. Today is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, the first expansion of Lord Krishna. Ramadi Bhuti Shukalam in the name of Krishna. There are so many expansions of Krishna, beginning from Lord Balaram. Advaita Machuta Manadi Manatu Rupa. He has innumerable forms. This is a capability of Krishna's, that he can be one person and more than one person at once. We can only be one person. And if I'm here, I'm not there. If I'm there, I'm not here. But Krishna has the capability to expand himself, that is, to appear in many different forms at one time. Sometimes he appears in identical forms, as he does when he marries 16,000 queens, or dances in Vrindavan with the gopis. And sometimes he appears in forms that are somewhat different, like the Narayan forms in Vaikuntha, who are four-handed, whereas Krishna is two-handed. Or like Lord Balaram himself, Krishna is blackish in complexion, Lord Balaram is whitish in complexion. So there's some difference. They're not identical expansions. When Krishna expands himself as 16,000 Krishnas, it appears that each queen thinks that I'm marrying Krishna. But when Krishna appears as Balaram, then it's known that here's Krishna, here's Balaram. And there's some difference, although there's no difference. Advaita. Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti. There's only one absolute truth. Dutiya Nasti, no second truth. But that one absolute truth can appear in innumerable features, innumerable forms. The example is given of a gem that can appear in many different colors. When I first joined, I had an alexandrite ring, semi-precious, not very precious, gem. And a feature of alexandrite is that under different lights, it appears to be a different color. It can appear to be purplish blue, or it can appear to be yellowish, I think. Why don't you take advantage of one of these cushions? It would be more comfortable. Give her a cushion.
Yes.
You have one? Okay. Good. So the same stone, but in different lights, it appears to be different. You'd think it was a different stone. So Krishna appears in different forms, sometimes blackish, sometimes white, and with different personal characteristics also. When Krishna expanded himself as the cows and cowherd boys, after Lord Brahma stole them all, each cow and each boy had his own individual characteristics. Each boy was different, each calf was different. They were all Krishna. Therefore, the mothers of the boys were more affectionate now to their sons than ever before, whereas before, they loved their sons, but they loved Krishna more. Now they all love their sons as much as they love Krishna, because their sons all were Krishna. Similarly, the cows had overwhelming love for their calves, because their calves were all Krishna. But they all assumed the individual characteristics of each individual boy, each individual calf. So Lord Balaram also has his own individual characteristics, which are different from those of Krishna. And therefore, even Krishna and Balaram sometimes disagree with one another. Although they're the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna wants Subhadra to marry Arjuna, and Balaram wants her to marry Duryodhana. So then there's some scheme, and Krishna arranges for Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra, and then Balaram is furious, and he has to be pacified, calmed down. And somehow they get back to, all right. But there's a difference, although there's oneness. So I wanted to read a pastime this evening, partly because it's so wonderful, and partly because I've been meaning to read it earlier in the day and didn't get a chance. So this is my chance. Since I run the class, I get to do what I want. This comes from the history of Krishna's marriage with Rukmini. Rukmini her father wanted her to marry Krishna, but somehow her brother Rukmini prevailed in arranging her marriage to Shishupal. But Rukmini was not at all happy with that arrangement, because she wanted no one but Krishna. So she sent a message to Krishna through a Brahmin. This is the situation, that I'm to be married to this rogue. So you come and kidnap me. I'm meant for the lion, not for the jackal, so don't let this jackal take me. You take me. So by the... And she suggested how to do it. This would be the opportunity at this moment, while this is going on. She was king's daughter, so she was good at strategy also. So it so happened like that. Krishna stole Rukmini in the assembly of so many princes. And the princes got together and challenged Krishna. But they were all defeated. In Kshatriya dealings, this was quite common. No one just marries a girl. First, you fight for her. First, there's a big competition. Then, whoever wins gets challenged by the losers. and there's a big fight, then you get to marry the girl. So the girl who doesn't marry some wimp, she knows. Therefore, the system was, now we see this Vermilion is there on the forehead, or the part of the hair of the married girl placed there by the husband. So previously, that would be from the blood of the defeated party. You know, so the woman would know you've married a real warrior. Oh, so now you go out and buy in the market for 10 pice. But anyway, in the Kshatriya dealings, these activities would go on as chivalrous activities, challenges and fights. So Krishna prevailed against Shishupal, and Rukmi also challenged Krishna. He vowed that I will take my sister back from this Krishna, and I will I'll prevail, or else I won't come back to my capital. Then and he insulted Krishna that he's just a coward boy and he's proud of his tricky fighting, but today I'll teach him a lesson. I'll show him. So then he he condemned Krishna. You're carrying away my sister just like a crow stealing clarified butter meant for use in sacrifice. You're proud of your military strength, that you can't fight according to regular principles. You've stolen my sister. Now I shall relieve you of your false prestige. You can keep her only until I beat you to the ground for good with my arrows. Prabhupada said, this is what he said to Krishna in great stupidity. So, after hearing all these crazy words from Rukmi, Krishna shot an arrow and severed his bowstring, and Rukmi got it together again and shot off a couple of arrows, and Krishna severed his bowstring again. And again, Krishna severed his bow and then killed his horses and killed the chariot driver and chopped off the top of his chariot, and the flag came crashing down. And then, no arrows, Rukmi took swords and shields and tridents and lances, hand to hand, but Krishna defeated him. And he was about to, he took out his sharp sword and was about to kill him. But Rukmi's sister, Rukmini, understanding that this time Krishna would not excuse her brother, fell down at Krishna's lotus feet. And trembling with great fear, in a grievous tone, began to plead with her husband for her brother's life. And Krishna agreed that, yes, all right, he'd save, he wouldn't kill him. But at the same time, he wanted to give him some light punishment. So he tied him up with a piece of cloth and snipped at his mustache, beard, and hair, keeping some spots here and there. This was done as a play, a little drama, quite a wonderful drama in New York City, with Prabhupada in the audience. And when Krishna bound Rukmi and humiliated him in this way, Prabhupada said, worse than death. Sambhavitas yachaki yatir marana adivichate, for a great person to be humiliated in this way was worse than death. So, while Krishna was dealing with Rukmini, Balaram and the army of the Yadus finished off the rival princes and Rukmini's forces. Rukmini had gathered an army, and Balaram dispatched them. when the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came back to see Krishna, they were surprised to see the condition of Rukmi. Lord Balaram became especially compassionate toward his sister-in-law, newly married to his brother. To please Rukmini, Balaram personally untied Rukmi, and to further please her, Balaram, as the elder brother of Krishna, spoke some words of chastisement. He's in the superior position, he's the elder brother. Krishna, your action is not at all satisfactory. This is an abomination, very much contrary to our family tradition. To cut someone's hair and shave his mustache and beard is almost comparable to killing him. Whatever he might have been, he's now our brother-in-law, a relative of our family, and you should not have put him in such a condition. After this, to pacify Rukmini, Lord Balaram said to her, "You should not be sorry that your brother has been made odd-looking. Everyone suffers or enjoys the results of his own actions." Lord Balaram wanted to impress upon Rukmini that she should not be sorry for the consequences her brother suffered due to his actions. There was no need of being too affectionate toward such a brother. We're not this body. We're subject to the laws of karma, and whatever we get, it's according to the reactions of our previous deeds. So why should one lament about that? Nainam shojitam karmasi. There's no need to be distressed. Lord Balaram again turned toward Krishna and said, "My dear Krishna, a relative, even though he commits such a blunder and deserves to be killed, should be excused. For when such a relative is conscious of his own fault, that consciousness itself is like death. Therefore, there's no need to kill him." Now Balaram is directing Krishna that you should be merciful to him. Balaram again turned toward Rukmini and informed her that the current duty of the Kshatriya in human society is so fixed that according to the principles of fighting, one's own brother may become an enemy. Then a Kshatriya does not hesitate to kill his own brother. In other words, Lord Balaram wanted to instruct Rukmini that Rukmi and Krishna were right in not showing mercy to each other in the fighting, despite the family consideration that they happened to be brothers-in-law. Sri Balaram informed Rukmini that Kshatriyas are the typical emblems of the materialistic way of life. They become puffed up whenever there's a question of material acquisition. Therefore, when there's a fight between two belligerent Kshatriyas for kingdom, land, wealth, women, prestige, or power, they try to put one another into the most abominable condition. Balaram instructed Rukmini that her affection toward her brother, Rukmi, who had created enmity with so many persons, was a perverse consideration befitting an ordinary materialist. Her brother's character was not at all admirable, considering his treatment of his friends, and yet Rukmini, like an ordinary woman, was affectionate toward him. He was not fit to be her brother, and still she was lenient toward him. Besides that, he continued, the consideration that a person is neutral or is one's friend or enemy is generally made by persons in the bodily conception of life. Such foolish persons are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The spirit soul is of the same pure quality in any embodiment of matter. But those who are not sufficiently intelligent see only the bodily differences between animals and men, literates and illiterates, rich and poor, which cover the spirit soul. Such differences, observed merely on the basis of the body, are exactly like the differences between fires in terms of the various types of fuel they consume. Whatever the size and shape of the fuel, there's no such variety of size and shape in the fire which comes out. Similarly, in the sky, there are no differences in size and shape. So now he's calling Rukmini foolish. You're just a foolish girl. You're thinking of your brother with all this affection, even though he deserves what he's getting. you're just in the bodily concept of life, making distinctions where no distinctions are to be made. The spirit soul is of one nature. Only the foolish person sees, here's a cow, and here's a dog, and here's a human being, and here's a Brahmin, and here's a dog eater. Pandita Samadarshan, a person who really knows what's what, sees equality everywhere. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavihashmi, Shuni Chayava Shapakinja, Pandita Samadarshan. The pandit doesn't see the outward body, he sees all living entities as being equal sparks of the Supreme Lord. Ekatam Anupachyate. So, you're being foolish. Why this partiality toward this one person just because on the bodily platform he's your brother? This is the way it goes among Kshatriyas. He's getting his comeuppance. So why should you be so disturbed? In this way, Balaram reconciled the situation by his moral and ethical instructions to Rukmini and Krishna. To Rukmini, he stated further, this body is part of the material manifestation, consisting of the material elements, living conditions, and interactions of the modes of material nature. The living entity or spirit soul, being in contact with these, is transmigrating from one body to another due to illusory enjoyment. And that transmigration is known as material existence. This contact of the living entity with the material manifestation has neither integration nor disintegration. My dear chaste sister-in-law, the spirit soul is, of course, the cause of this material body, just as the sun is the cause of sunlight, eyesight, and the forms of material manifestation. Prabhupada explains. The example of the sunshine and the material manifestation is very appropriate in understanding the living entity's contact with the material world. In the morning, the sun rises, and the heat and light gradually expand throughout the whole day. The sun is the cause of all material shapes and forms, for it's due to the sun that integration and disintegration of material elements take place. But as soon as the sun sets, the whole manifestation is no longer connected to the sun, which has passed from one place to another. When it passes from the eastern to the western hemisphere, the results of the interactions due to the sunshine in the eastern hemisphere remain, but the sunshine itself is visible in the western hemisphere. Similarly, the living entity accepts or produces different bodies and different bodily relationships in a particular circumstance. But as soon as he gives up the present body and accepts another, he has nothing to do with the former body. Similarly, the living entity has nothing to do with the next body he accepts. He's always free from the contact of this bodily contamination, constitutionally free. Therefore, Balaram continued, the appearance and disappearance of the body have nothing to do with the living entity, just as the waxing and waning of the moon have nothing to do with the moon. When it waxes, we falsely think that it's developing, when it wanes, it's decreasing. Actually, the moon as it is always the same. It has nothing to do with such visible activities, waxing and waning. The Lord Balaram is giving essential spiritual instructions about the nature of the living being, about our transcendental nature. Lord Balaram is considered the original spiritual master. Or the spiritual master is considered a manifestation or expansion or representative of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram also appears when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears as Nityananda Prabhu, original spiritual master. So here Lord Balaram is acting in that position, instructing Rukmini, and for that matter instructing Krishna also, about proper understanding and proper action. Lord Balaram continued. Each of these, this Krishna book is a summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Each of these paragraphs or discussions is in itself a verse or several verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and each of those verses has so much scope for discussion, offers so much scope for discussion, each word of Bhagavatam. So much is packed into this Krishna book, so much instruction. Lord Balaram continued, one's consciousness in material existence can be compared to sleeping and dreaming. When a man sleeps, he dreams of many non-factual happenings. And as a result of dreaming, he becomes subject to different kinds of distress and happiness. Similarly, when a person is in the dream of material consciousness, he suffers the effects of accepting a body and giving it up again, material existence. Because we're not this body, we have nothing to do with this body. But due to our having turned away from Krishna, we're in this material consciousness in which we identify with matter, with one body and the next and the next and the next. Although it's meaningless. The waxing and waning of the moon have nothing to do with the moon. And yet it seems that the moon is waxing and waning. We have nothing to do with the ups and downs of this material life or the bodily existence. But we think that it's something very significant. Opposite to this material consciousness is Krishna consciousness. In other words, when a man is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from his false conception of life. In this way, Sri Balaram instructed Rukmini in spiritual knowledge. He further addressed his sister-in-law thus, sweet, smiling Rukmini, do not be aggrieved by false notions caused by ignorance. Only because of false notions does one become unhappy. But one can immediately remove this unhappiness by discussing the philosophy of actual life. Be happy on that platform only. This is significant. And so often when there's some trouble or calamity, we try to help people basically by sympathy. We empathize with their position. We say, Don't be so sad. Oh, if I were in your position, I'd feel the same way. Oh. It's not so bad. You'll get over it. Right? This is the kind of stuff. Think of the bright side. You lost this, but you still have that. We give this sort of conventional advice. But Lord Balaram doesn't do that. He goes to the nub of the thing and says, you're in distress because you're stupid. Stupid means you're not stupid, but you're falsely thinking in terms of this bodily conception of life, which is stupid. Ignorance. He doesn't say exactly stupid, but it's due to ignorance. Not so far off from stupid. It's due to your ignorance. You dispel this ignorance and you won't have a problem. That's the difference between stupid and ignorant. Stupid, he'll never understand. Ignorant, there's a chance he'll understand what the problem is by knowledge. Now, the living being is supposed to be intelligent, gyanina, by spiritual constitution. Doesn't matter materially intelligent or not intelligent. But if he agrees to hear from the self-realized person, then his ignorance can be dispelled. And that's Lord Balaram's program. That you're in distress because of ignorance. Get out of that ignorance. Get off this material bodily conception platform and come to the right understanding. And then you'll be happy. Then you'll be happy. Not by material adjustment and, you know, feeling differently, looking at it from the other side, look at the bright side or whatever it is. It's not going to work. It's a little band-aid on a serious wound. It's not going to do anything. We're probably compared to like blowing on a boil. It's not going to solve the problem. So, after hearing such enlightening instructions from Sri Balaram, Rukmini immediately became pacified and happy, and adjusted her mind, which was very much afflicted by the degraded position of her brother, Rukmini. As far as Rukmini was concerned, his promise was not fulfilled, nor was his mission successful. He had come from home with his soldiers and military phalanx to defeat Krishna and release his sister. But on the contrary, he lost all his soldiers and military strength. He was personally degraded and very sorry. But by the grace of the Lord, he could continue his life to its fixed destination. Because he was a Kshatriya, he could remember his promise that he would not return to his capital city, Kundina, without killing Krishna. In releasing his city, his sister, which he had failed to do. Therefore, he decided in anger not to return to his capital city. And he constructed a small cottage in the village known as Bhojakapta, where he resided for the rest of his life. Then the Krishna and Balaram and Rukmini returned to Dwarka with great jubilation, and they're met by all of their friendly kings. Although the incident of the kidnapping was not a very happy occurrence in the kingdom of Vidarbha, kingdom of Rukmini's father. Kidnapping was not an unusual affair among Kshatriyas. Kidnapping was, in fact, current in almost all their marriages. Anyway, King Bhishmaka was from the very beginning inclined to hand over his beautiful daughter to Krishna. In one way or another, his purpose had been served, and so he was pleased to join the marriage ceremony, even though his eldest son was degraded in the fight. It's mentioned in the Padma Purana that Maharaj Nanda and the cowherd boys of Vrindavan joined the marriage ceremony. The story of Rukmini's being kidnapped by Krishna was poeticized, and professional readers recited it everywhere. All the assembled kings and their daughters, especially, were struck with wonder and very much pleased upon hearing the chivalrous activities of Krishna. In this way, all the visitors, as well as the inhabitants of Dwarka city, were joyful to see Krishna and Rukmini together. In other words, the goddess of fortune was now united with the Supreme Lord, the maintainer of everyone, and thus all the people felt extremely jubilant. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 54th chapter of Krishna. Krishna defeats all the princes and takes Rukmini home to Dwarka. Let's say, very pleasing pastime to hear about. And it's especially intriguing to see Krishna, first of all, to see Balaram so expertly instructing both sides, instructing his sister-in-law and instructing his brother in opposite ways. Krishna, you shouldn't have done that to him. Why should you be lamenting over his condition? He's coming at it from both sides of the argument, first one side, then the other, very expertly. he's giving substantial spiritual knowledge. Just from a few verses, so much information is there. Not information, enlightenment is there about our nature, the nature of our great problems in the material world, and the nature of the solution to those problems. And it's also intriguing to see Lord Balaram just on the opposite side of Krishna again. Krishna's humiliating Rukmi, and Balaram said, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that to him. He's our brother. He's our relative now." So this is Krishna taking different sides. Later we'll see that Krishna's son, Pradyumna, marries Rukmi's daughter. The daughter was attracted to Pradyumna, and Rukmi, in order to please Rukmini, went along with that. And then later, Krishna's grandson was married with Rukmi's granddaughter. I think that's how it worked. Cousins. Not the usual system, but again, just to please Rukmini. And on that occasion, there was another pastime where Rukmi insulted Lord Balaram. Should I tell about that? The marriage went on, this time peacefully, no challenges, no fights. And then Rukmi got the idea from the king of Kalinga. Kalinga is the modern Odisha. Got the idea from the king of Kalinga that he should challenge Balaram to a game of chess. It was known that Balaram was not a very good chess player, but he had a sporting, competitive nature and wouldn't refuse a challenge. So the chess match was going on, and the way it worked was with betting, and there was heavy betting on both sides, gold coins, in an escalating sequence of bets. And Balaram was losing and losing and losing, and the king of Kalinga was smiling and showing his teeth. And finally, Lord Balaram won. And then Rukmi said, "No, you lost." And then Lord Balaram became really angry. But then somehow or other that was settled up, and they played again for bigger stakes. And again Lord Balaram won. And again Rukmini said, "You lost." Rukmi said, "You lost." And then there was a voice from the sky that said, "No, he won." Let's see, find it. "No, you won. Balaram won, and you're trying to cheat." It's 59, 60, yeah. Let's find that. So there's this divine voice, and no, Balaram's won. But Rukmi insisted, Balaram lost. And he was so puffed up, and he began to criticize Balaram. "My dear Balaramji, you two brothers, cowherd boys only, may be very expert in tending cows. How can you be expert in playing chess or shooting arrows on the battlefield? These arts are well known only to the princely order." Hearing this kind of pinching talk by Rukmi and the loud laughter of all the other princes, Lord Balaram became as agitated as burning cinders. He immediately took his club in his hand and without further talk struck Rukmi on the head. From that one blow, Rukmi fell down immediately and was dead and gone. Thus Rukmi was killed by Balaram on that auspicious occasion of Aniruddha's marriage. These things are not very uncommon in Kshatriya society. The king of Kalinga, afraid that he would be the next one attacked, fled from the scene. Before he could escape even a few steps, however, Balaramji captured him, and because the king had always shown his teeth while criticizing Balaram and Krishna, Balaram broke all the king's teeth with his club. The other princes supporting the king of Kalinga and Rukmi were also captured, and Balaram beat them with his club, breaking their legs and hands. They did not try to retaliate, but thought it wise to run away from the bloody scene. During this strife between Balaram and Rukmi, Lord Krishna did not utter a word. For he knew that if he supported Balaram, Rukmini would be unhappy. And if he said that the killing of Rukmi was unjust, Balaram would be unhappy. Therefore, Lord Krishna was silent on the death of his brother-in-law Rukmi on the occasion of his grandson's marriage. He did not disturb his affectionate relationship with either Balaram or Rukmi. So, good case for silence. Lord Krishna didn't say anything one way or the other. Well, these may appear like the ordinary altercations between people of this material world, but these are all divine pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he plays as a cowherd boy, he's perfectly situated as a cowherd boy. When he plays as a kshatriya, perfectly situated as a kshatriya. Whether he's fighting or he's dancing, whatever Krishna does is always divya, chandma karma chame divya, evam yo veti tatvata, chatva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sarjana. Lord Balaram is known for transcendental strength. Bala means strength, not material strength, but transcendental strength. It's said that without getting strength from Lord Balaram, no one can go back to Godhead. So Bala means strength, and Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Rama means transcendental pleasure. So Lord Balaram takes pleasure in using his strength, and the devotees take pleasure in Lord Balaram's exhibiting his strength in his transcendental pastimes. So we can Parchanaya Sadhunam Vinacharjaduska. He uses his strength to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. All the avatars who appear for that purpose, Nrisimhamurti, Varahadev, Kalki, Parshuram, all the incarnations, they're all partial manifestations of Balaram. Balaram expands as the Sankarshan. Sankarshan expands as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshirdakshaya Vishnu. From these Purusha avatars, the incarnations expand who play pastimes in this world. They're all manifestations of Lord Balaram. Sheshanaga, upon whom Lord Vishnu is reclining, is another manifestation of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is present in so many different forms. The whole spiritual world is manifest by the energy of Lord Balaram. His energy maintains the whole spiritual sky. So there's unlimited strength in Lord Balaram and unlimited pleasure, and we can all take shelter of Lord Balaram and be protected and happy in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, maybe a question or two. Or a comment or two.
It was just interesting how when Krishna offended Rukmini, Rukmini, and Balaram chastised him, and said that when Balaram did it,
Krishna didn't say anything.
So the elder brother relationship is coming out there also. Mm.
The younger brother does something.
The younger brother does something, then the elder brother can get in his case. But when the elder brother does something, then
you can't say anything. Yeah, this is the culture. Younger brother, we can not be older. Nice observation.
I was trying to understand because this non-difference between Krishna and Balaram, and yet there's also a difference. Mm. And in this, I mean, Krishna expands himself as Balaram.
Yeah.
Whereas Krishna, when he appears as, say, Ramachandra, or when Krishna assumes a form like Ramachandra or Narasimha, then he's assuming that form.
Through Balaram. He's not skipping over. The expansion of Lord Ramachandra is the expansion from Mahavishnu, who's the expansion of Sankarsana, who's the expansion of Balaram. Krishna doesn't jump over and just directly expand himself as Lord Ramachandra or Vishnu.
Balaram also appears.
That's different. Ete chamsa kalapam sa krishnas tu bhagavans. Krishna and Balaram appear. They're the Supreme Personality of God. They're the Supreme Personality of God. Just sometimes, I don't know why I thought of it, but sometimes Alfred Hitchcock always used to show up in his own movies. There'd always be like a little cameo appearance where Alfred Hitchcock would appear in some small role. So all the other characters, they're directed by Alfred Hitchcock, but sometimes the director himself appears in the film. So something like that. All the other characters are under the direction of Krishna, or they're, in this case, they're expanded from Krishna. But Krishna appears on the scene. That's his own personal prerogative. The director can do as he likes. So Krishna personally expands himself. But when he comes as Krishna and Balaram, that's his own personal direct manifestation. Ete chamsa kalapam, all the other expansions are parts of the Supreme, parts of the parts of the Supreme. But Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is the Supreme himself, and Balaram is his first plenary portion.
There's this relationship that Balaram has, although he's the elder brother, also of serving Krishna.
Yes, that also. Serving means in the elder brother will serve the younger brother. Just like the parental relationship. The parents are serving the children. Giving food, giving protection. So Krishna, Balaram's the elder brother, so he's has a protective affection.
And he manifests himself as his umbrella and his
slippers, his umbrella, his secretary. Yeah. Thank you. Looks like conch time.
What about conches? Are conches, you said, Balaram? What's his special thing with conches?
Krishna and Balaram both have.
They both have.
And now Piyari has one. Panchajanya.
Panchajanya is
Krishna. Rishikesha.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.